Good evening and welcome to the Bullseye Saints Hour. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints in a special season finale, as we sit down with seven Saints players to get their thoughts on the season and the future. Veterans like Cam Jordan and Chase Young, last year's top draft pick Taliaferro Fuaga, defensive back Alante Taylor, kicker Charlie Smith and his amazing story. But we begin with quarterback Tyler Shuck and center Eric McCoy. Shuck didn't start until week 9 and vaulted himself not just to the top of rookie standings, but the league as well.
I guess, Connor, how do you evaluate where you start? You came in week 8, but in the second half, and as you got your first start week 9 in L.A., welcome to the NFL against the Rams. Do you look at it as the end, where you are at the end, or kind of the process?
For me, I think it's just been a continual growth process. I think coming into camp through preseason, through practices on scout team, I feel like I've kind of attacked it and gotten better every single day. And you come in, you don't know what you don't know, and you're learning a brand new offense and a short amount of time with new guys who you haven't thrown to. And there's going to be natural, like you're just going to have to grow and learn through that. And I think the NFL is such a crazy business, a long season, and how do you sustain that and continue to get better each week? And I feel like I've been able to do. I feel like I haven't even done anything yet. I haven't like scratched the surface as far as, you know, what I feel like my play style and performance can be. And I think that's the encouraging part, is just kind of finding ways to continue to grow.
And that looking forward to, it's a mini camp, OTAs, you know, rookie minicamp, veteran minicamp, training camp, where you're the guy. You know, it's not a competition. You're getting the full load of the plays. That's got to be exciting.
Yeah, I think that's where I've made the most strides, is just those reps, you know, those at-bats where you're seeing these looks. You're operating with these guys that you know. You're getting a full offseason, you know, under your belt now. And I think the coaching staff is the same. They've been able to have a full offseason in the same system with guys you're familiar with. And how do we, you know, fine tune it and grow from there? I think that's the exciting part. And I think, like you said, being able to just attack those reps. And that's where I feel like every single week, every single day, you know, I feel like I've gotten better. And that's my goal, is to, for however many years, to continue to do that.
Was it important for you, because you took a lot of hits, you ran the ball, was it important for you to, even in the number of games that you played, to be injury-free, be out there and be available?
Yeah, I think that's the name of the game, and I learned that very early on in my career, is your best ability is your availability, and a lot of that stuff is out of your control sometimes, you know, that you prepare, you work hard, and sometimes freak things happen. You know, I had a few bone breaks that are kind of out of your control. There's guys that we had some missing pieces that, you know, that are unfortunate. But for me, any way I can protect my body but still get a touchdown, get a first down, you know, win the game, make a play, like that's what I'm going to do. And you obviously got to be smart and, you know, understand that, you know, a couple yards on a normal down and distance isn't going to make or break you. And but understanding when the right time is and continue to be better at that and still protect yourself, I think that's something I, you know, I learned and want to continue to do.
We talk about next man up all the time, but when you look at yesterday's roster across the board, and then unfortunately losing Kelvin Banks, I mean, it were guys that were literally not on the roster. So we're not talking about just next guys up. And so as I asked Eric McCoy, that was a pretty gutty performance yesterday.
Yeah, it was a unique situation, but, you know, my mindset was like, let's just go play football, you know. It's kind of going back to just backyard, you know, kid football days. You're just going out there playing the look. You know, you don't necessarily have chemistry with these guys, but let's just go out there and have fun. And that's why you do it. And it's really a credit to the defense shutting down, you know, their offense the whole day. The way that they've been playing at a high level down the stretch and really all year long has been extremely impressive, and kind of holding it down for us when we've kind of had some moving parts. And but yeah, I was just proud of the way of how everybody battled and stepped up, and I think it's stuff to kind of continue to build on.
A couple more questions for Tyler Shuck, Saints quarterback. As you go into the offseason, as you look and you evaluate yourself and a list of I want to work on XXX, just roughly, broadly speaking, what would that be?
I think one is just mastering the offense and what does that look like for us going forward? And like you said, when you get those reps, you know, how can you make those game like to where we're playing the Rams again, we're playing the Seahawks, we're playing whoever's in the Super Bowl. Like, you have to go about it from that standpoint and having that high level of standard and shoring up my footwork on these plays and making everything consistent and putting my eyes in the right places. And I think that just continues with those more reps and but just being intentional about that and continue to grow as a leader and just kind of take ownership of that.
And finally, what are your off-season plans? What are you going to do? Are you going to be here for Mardi Gras? What are you and the family going to do?
Well, I'm going to be in New Orleans for a while. I think I'm going to be a New Orleanian for sure. We got our baby that's due February 16th. So
you and Alonte Taylor, man, everybody's busy here in the next few.
I know it might be a Mardi Gras baby, and I'm actually going to be going to Mardi Gras. Hopefully, might be on a float or something. We'll have still in the works, but I'm excited for crawfish season and Mardi Gras, just to kind of take a breath and be able to hang out. And but yeah, I think it'll be good, and just to be here and kind of experience everything.
Now is the time to enjoy New Orleans with Mardi Gras, French Quarter Fest, Jazz Fest, and then it'll be football season quickly again. Appreciate your time, continued success, and have a great offseason.
Thank you, Mike.
In his seventh year, veteran Pro Bowl center Eric McCoy tore a biceps muscle in week 7 and never took a snap with Shuck as a starter. So his vantage point is unique and insightful. Here's Eric McCoy.
Just give me an update on your health and where you are and how you feel and where that progress is.
Yeah, I would say that I'm feeling good. Obviously, I've still got a couple month road of recovery ahead of me. I mean, I've got full range of motion back right now, and then I'm still working to get my strength back. And then hopefully be even higher than I was going into last season in terms of just overall health and wellness of my body.
So this would normally be my last question about the off season, but what will your off season look like? Because you go into the off season kind of, you know, still in a injury rehab situation.
I mean, I'll pretty much be here throughout the entirety of the off season. You know, with our trainers, spending time in the weight room, in the training room, conditioning, trying to get my body back in shape. So I'll be here pretty much through the start of OTAs. It's just the name of the game for me right now.
You've watched this offense really from a unique situation because you were playing when Spencer was playing and then you were kind of watching some, you know, with Tyler. Just give me your evaluation of the evolution of this offense and Kellen Moore as you played it and watched it.
Mm-hmm. I would just say there's a lot of things to be excited about. I mean, obviously Tyler is a super talented guy, can make every throw in the freaking book. And then, yeah, I think the offense grew throughout the season, in terms of what we were able to handle, in terms of, what we could run, in terms of, just the overall efficiency. And I think that, when Tyler took the helm, that kind of took off after his first couple of starts. So I think that the organization and the fans have a lot to be excited about in him as a player, and about how he continues to develop and how we continue to develop alongside him, to protect him, to build him up, to just get playmakers in here to make his job easier.
And I don't think we appreciated at the time in August and end of camp, you know, the trade for Luke Fortner, the awesome Richards, and got, you know, Xavier Truss, guys getting, you know, off the waiver wire, and you're not thinking about, well, you traded away, you know, 2027 for depth, but those guys stepped in and stepped up.
I'll be the first one to tell you that I think Luke Fortner is a hell of a ball player. I mean, he stepped in when I went out and really kind of did things without missing a beat. So I'm excited for what this offseason holds for him, whether that's back here or somewhere else. But man, he stepped up in a crucial way for this team and for the O-line room when I went down. So I'm happy for him. I'm proud of him. And then a guy like Awesome stepped in, played left tackle, right tackle, was versatile when we needed to be, even played some guard in practice. Because, you know, just it's the reality that guys are going to miss time. Hopefully I don't have to miss any more time. I'm going to do my best not to miss any more time. But when that happens, you need to have guys that are fully and completely capable to step in and do a hell of a job. And I think those guys did.
How hard was that for you mentally? Because you have not, it is not, you've been such a stalwart there to be on the sidelines and to be injured.
Yeah. I would say the last 2 years have took a toll, just to say the least. I don't know, you put in all the work in the offseason, you work your tail off, you rehab, you spend time here rehabbing when you don't have to, just to try to get everything in shape and ready to go. And then just for it to kind of get taken away, it's hard.
More mentally than physically, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's hard on me. It's hard on my wife. It's hard on my kids because I'm not gonna say I'm not the same, but like it's a little traumatic, to say the least. But you know, I believe in myself and I know that these guys upstairs believe in me to come back healthy and to play a full season and to contribute at the level that I know I contribute and have contributed. So
just two more questions, with Eric McCoy, and you sat and watched that game yesterday with the challenges. There's backups, and then there's backups of the backups, and then there's backups of the backups of the backups, and then there's new guys on the roster who weren't on the roster. That was a pretty gutsy performance.
Yeah, it was indeed. I mean, and we're just a few plays away from winning that game. So I think it speaks to the level of talent that we have at certain positions. And I think it speaks to the level of coaching that went into that to even make it possible for, and it speaks to the way our freaking defense played. Because
age is just a number on that defense.
Man, I'm telling you. And then the way that Chase Young has freaking come along since he got healthy, like he's playing like one of, if not the best defensive end in the NFL right now. Guys been told a package. He's playing the running elite level and he is getting after the quarterback at a super high level. So I'm so proud of him. I know this is his first double-digit sack season, and hopefully we can come back and build on that next year.
Continued success. I know it's going to be a tough offseason with rehab, but you'll be back, and we'll look forward to it. Thank you.
Sir, thank you.
I'm not sure there was a bigger disruptor on the Saints' defense than Chase Young. A record-setting year, and he missed 5 games. He's next on the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Defensive end Chase Young missed the first 5 games with a calf injury, yet still finished the season with a career-high 10 sacks. Offensive lineman just had no answer for his skill set.
Just give me your kind of evaluation of this defense's evolution with the Brandon Staley defense.
Yeah, you know, it's easy to say that, yeah, this new scheme is going to work. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's easy to for the season just to say it.
Right.
But when you really break it down, it's still a new scheme. We're still learning new things. We're still learning, you know, how to be the best player we can be while this year we had to drop more than I ever dropped in my life. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. Hey, you and Cam and Carl, you're in the flat, right? I mean, yeah.
Staley, I would say how he gave it to us, It was great how he did it. He started to give us nuggets in the OTAs. He kind of gradually brought us, you know, through the whole playbook in OTAs. Even during the training camp, he just didn't just throw it at us at one time. You know what I'm saying? Just making sure like we had time to, you know, learn it. And I think we've grown closer as a group this year, just as a defense, like, you know, really going to dinners because we want to be with our guys. You know what I'm saying? Like Kool-Aid, like that's really my guy. I think when you just have the camaraderie, the coach, and then just the want to do it, because we finished top 10. When you have a top 10 defense, that's because everybody on our defense bought in. And that's a test to everybody, the whole group.
Were there times early on Because you said, you're right. You're taking people who have been pass rushers, the best, fast on the edge, swim moves, and say, but sometimes you're going to be out on the flats or going to be covering a tight end seam route. And you go, whoa, I know I can do it, but maybe that's not my strength. I mean, did you question yourself? Well, not question yourself, but how's this going to go?
I looked at it. For myself, I knew I could drop only because I know I'm comfortable in space. I know that about myself. So I was comfortable with doing it and knowing that because we're really outside linebackers. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm saying? But for me, being in that nine, being the real edge of the defense, you know, people say set the edge, but okay, don't say set the edge and put me in the four inside the tackle. Can't set the edge right there. Put me a wide nine and let me set the edge.
I think you're a wide 10. I don't know where the numbers end, but you get as far wide as I've ever seen players get.
I'm telling you, just let me and just go fly.
We don't get to talk to defensive players about this too often, but we do. We always talk to offensive linemen when you're running the ball, and we go, man, it must be cool when you can run the ball and they know you're going to run the ball and they can't stop you. And against the Falcons, that defense, your defensive front, they couldn't stop you. And that feeling of they know you're coming and they can't stop you.
Man, it's that's why you play the game. That's why you play the game, and to do it, you know, we forget this NFL. This is the highest level, the 1% of the 1%. You know, I think sometimes we always looking to the next milestone. We never give ourselves credit for what we've done right now. And Carl, Cam, even interior guys, our DBs, I looked at all the sacks we had. No receivers was open. Like, our DBs was shutting everything down. That's why we get there, complimentary football. I talked to Staley today. He said that was our top two performances of the year. Bijan, you know, Offensive Player of the Year, MVP. What he had? I mean.
They had 208 yards total offense. Let's put it that way. He had more than that Monday night against the Rams.
Right. Right. So, you know, it's like, you know, that ain't easy to do now.
And almost across the board, career highs for you. And you would have had career high tackles, but you did. You missed the first six games. So a couple more questions, if I can, just because when you look back at that, the fumble, which was a fumble, ball is moving in his hand. As you hit his forearm, the ball is moving. Right?
I was mad.
No, you can't. I'm not asking you to question the officials. I am paying no fine. But as you hit his arm, the ball is moving. So, yes, he does shot put it forward. I get that part. But did he have control?
No, he had no control. So, you know, it's a you know and I know. So if you know and I know.
Is Chase Young playing as at a level as best you've ever played?
Yeah, I'm you know, people talk about my rookie year, but I say, man, I'm better than I was then. I was young. I didn't even have my strength yet. I was just small and fast, just running around. Now I feel like I'm all the way put together player.
I think it's more. I see bull rush. It's not speed all the time. It's bull rush. Jake Matthews yesterday was a swim inside, right? And so it's the complete package, probably.
It's just I'm in my flow state again. It feels good, you know, to remind myself and, you know, just let people know, like, I'm still around.
Well, I think they got that. They got that. What does your offseason look like? Will you be around? What's the plan?
Yeah, I'm gonna be in and out. This offseason I know I can build now. You know, going next season, play the full season, and then see what happens.
Well, good luck to you, man. It was impressive. Since the first day I saw you in training camp, I called you the disruptor. And quite frankly, your stats do not represent the impact you have on a game, because you do things that changes the play, but you don't get a stat for it. And so continued success, man.
Appreciate you.
Hard to pick a better story of the season than the journey of kicker Charlie Smith. From the International Pathway Program to tying a club record and a game winner in six games. He's next on the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour, Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. Ireland's Charlie Smith was not the season starter, but when the team moved on from Blake Groupie, the Gaelic football player got his NFL opportunity, and now he wants to be a kicker and not a story.
You came into the room carrying a football.
Yeah.
What is that football?
It was the ball from the Titans game, I think it's the same ball we've been kicking this last couple of games. And
currently, the career-long, 57.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, I know I'm, like, capable of hitting longer distances, you know. So, I would hope it's not going to be my longest kick I'll have in my career. Hopefully, there'll be, a lot longer ones than that as well, you know.
If we'd have talked back in, training camp, Irvine, towards the end of the year, you're going to sign a 3-year contract. Would you have thought that would have even been possible?
Look, you're always like, as a kicker, you're always kind of, you're just trying to stay ready. So whenever the opportunity comes up, you try and make the most of it. And I was delighted to get some game time this year. It's been, a really good learning year, and you learn through experiences, right? So, they're not all going to be highs. There's a couple of lows in there as well. Like, the couple of kicks the last couple of games that would have loved back. But then there's also a lot to be proud of over this last 6 weeks, and just a lot of fun memories, like the 5 field goal game with the Jets, and the game winner against Carolina, and the first game in Miami, the onside kick. Like, a lot of great memories to take into the off season. And then there's also a few of the misses. You're like, okay, let's diagnose what went wrong, and I missed them left, and a couple of flagged up and left hash, and kind of itching to get back into it straight away. But I've been advised to give my body a rest, and that's what I'll do, going into the off season. And delighted, to have a bit of clarity on the future here as well, going into the off season. But I've had two of those contracts before, and they haven't stuck. I'm just going to trade it as I've kicked for this team, and I want to continue kicking for this team. And how do I do that is by getting better and, showing up in the offseason.
I thought it was interesting. I always think kickers, how they react to misses. Your misses are not late. Your misses are early, but you come back and then make kicks after that. And you're able to put misses behind you, and that's not always easy.
Yeah, I think that's a huge deal. And, coming into this week, I was just thinking about it, and I was like, why is it that my misses are happening maybe with my first kick? And feel like it's nearly takes like a kick to get like the end of the feel of the game, and that's something that as a kicker we can't afford to do that, so that's something that I'm going to put a huge emphasis on, and even in my training and the situations I put myself in. But I was aware of it this week, and sometimes they're just not going to make them all, from that deep. And I felt like I had a pretty good ball, and it just started tailing on me, and I was very upset after. I feel like I'm being a little hard on myself, but at our position, you just want perfection.
You know that it's been a great story, but you're also cognizant that, what have I done? What have I earned? I don't want to be this story who made the team. You want to be more than that. You want to earn it. You're not a prop. You're not a puppet, right? Yeah. You want to go out there and earn your position.
Yeah, Mike, you hit the nail on the head right there. People have been so kind, and I am so grateful for all the support, from Ireland, and from here in New Orleans, and it's really just been a lot of it's been positive. And but there comes to a point where it's like, it's not about that, it's like, I want to be a kicker in this league for however long my leg allows me to kick. I hope until I'm 40 years old or however long that is. But that story, that's not going to last, like, it's all about production. It's all about what do you do on the field. And I'm looking at myself. I think I should maybe give myself a small bit of grace in saying that these are my first 6 career football games. I feel like I've got the talent to be one of the best kickers in this league, and I just have to, take the learns in this offseason and go and win the job, hopefully, and then, take it into the new season, and, just say, look, I'm you know, I can be one of the top guys in the league, and that's what this offseason is all about now.
What is the offseason going to be like for you, you know, back and forth? How much time will you spend here, Ireland? How will you do it?
Yeah, well, I plan on going home this week now to, you know, get much needed.
See the old lads in Mayo Bridge?
The first stop will be Laverty's and back at home now on Friday night. And I'll be at home until, you know, the start of March. We'll have fun, and we'll get right back to it then, you know, in a month's time or so with the kicks.
I agree. It's been a good story, but it's about a career.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mike. And thanks, everybody. You know, here with the Saints, it's been awesome. So just got to keep it going now.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Coming up next, Cam Jordan after 15 seasons and right tackle Taliaferro Fuaga after his second. The two interviews that did not go as expected. Next on the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas here, and hard to pick a better finish to the year than defensive end Cam Jordan. We'll talk about his future and his true feelings about the athletes across the line from him. As you look at your career in 15 years, strong always, but man, you love November, December, and January.
What do they say? Remember the month of November, and then on. You know, Sean Payton used to say you have to play your most meaningful football late in the season. You know, in the month of November, December, who are you? Where are you? And that's going to define what you will become, right? And you sort of take that to heart. Like, what are you doing in November? You know, are you playing your best ball, or are you already burnt out?
It felt like, whether you wanted it to, you made a statement at the end of this season about where you are and how you've taken care of your body and how you've, you know, come into each season and, you know, of the availability. Do you feel that?
Not at all. It's just another season for me. I'd say 2 years ago when I tore some things up in my leg, it stopped me from being the best version of me for that season. That very next season, you know, last season, I came in revenge season, and, you know, you looked at that training camp and you said, dang, Cam, you know, all the coaches were, hey, this is one of your best training camps that you've put together. We're going to have a hell of a year. And then got moved inside. I was like, well, I've been a little derailed. And I took that as a chip on my shoulder for this year. I made it a double revenge season. I proved not only to the team but to myself I am the player I've always wanted to be. I work hard for it. Just because you do the work doesn't mean that you'll have the success, but I know who I am. I know what I bring to the table. I know how to best gain most successful advantages. And you go into games with that confidence, and it shows out from jump. And with opportunity, I mean, you know, I like the lights just like the lights like me.
15 years. What do you want to do next year?
Win a Super Bowl in black and gold. Now, for the first time in my entire life, probably since I've been in high school, I don't know where I'm going. You know, like junior high school, you're like, oh, I wonder where I'm going. That's how long it's been for me. After I committed to Cal, I was at Cal till it was time to go to the league. And once, you know, the Saints drafted me, I never left. I've never even looked at the door. And now I'm technically going to be in a hallway like, yo, open the door back up.
Wait, do I still have a locker?
Correct. For the first time since I was 16 years old, I'm like, hey, y'all still want me, right? But the Saints have always made it clear that they want me, and I've always made it clear that I want the Saints, and the city of New Orleans has always embraced me and always been grateful. So however it may comes, I'm truly blessed and able to have said I've been a Saint. I'll forever be a Saint. I've made my mark here.
How important was it? I mean, seven seasons total with double-digit sacks, and you got the seventh this season. Really hadn't, you know, since your 22 Pro Bowl year, when I think you had 8.5, to put those kind of numbers up.
Mm-hmm. Dang, it hasn't been that long. 22, 8, 23, 2, 24, 4. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, you figure, honestly, I thought 23 was going to be another double-digit sack. Just looking at the patterns of it all, I said, okay, so we're going for it. And then tore up the leg. I was like, all right, well, if all we can do is go forward, we're going to stop the hell out this run. But that's just it. My mentality says I want to help this team be in the best position they can be. And if that's, you know, I want to prove that that's me being on the field each and every play. And if that's not the vision, then that's an up top vision, because my vision is is back and go to Super Bowl every year.
And finally, last question. I talked to Chase Young about this, and it was about this Brandon Staley defense and the fun that you have, and also the challenges of, hey, you're not just bull rushing, you're not just rushing, you're in the flat, you're in the seam, you're covered, you're dropping into coverages. How did you adjust to that, and did you like it, and where things are now as you look forward to next year being in the system?
What they say, the more you can do. You know, my wherewithal and my knowledge of drops has been quite low, but it has also expanded, expanded this year exponentially so. Thinking about, not just covering a two or dropping to a flat every now and again in the defenses prior to this, but now it's, knowing quads and actually knowing, if we're in a cover two or we're in single high. And I'm like, look at me.
You should be in the DB room, man.
I too can drop, but you have to have that willingness. And I think our edge group had that. You saw the way, Chase and Chris Rump and Carl and myself took to it, early on, it was Carl and Chris, and then as the season got more comfortable, it was Chase, me, and then it just became, a part of what we can do. And that hopefully freed us up from those tight end chips that seemingly always happen. You got these, they call them athletes, but those fat people across the line, if they were quote-unquote athletes, they wouldn't need help from every which way. A tight end help, a running back chip help, a guard slide. No. If they were athletes, you'd see me as just an athlete, mano y mano. But I think dropping, I think the way we rushed, I think the way we attacked guys, it gave us sort of different fronts. You never knew who was coming, and it did free up a lot of guys for one-on-ones, and you got to win those one-on-ones.
Have a great offseason. Appreciate it. Just a huge, huge year, and continued success.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. And for the future, whatever the future does hold, I'm just, again, blessed and highly favored. I think the Lord has given me so much when I expected so little out of myself. And I'll get drafted and you're told you're a run stopper to now being top 20 in sacks of all time.
Yep, 132 overall.
Man, it should have been 133 for that Miami game.
You have 132, and it's the ones that you don't have are the ones that you talk about.
Absolutely. Many more, hopefully.
All right, pal. Thank you.
Indeed.
Right tackle Taliesa Fuaga was in the room for Cam's interview. Probably wasn't expecting to defend his athleticism coming in, but did. So in all fairness, here is Fuaga and his rebuttal.
As you look at this season and everything that went on offensively and on offensive line where you had to have name tags for the most part, how do you look at this season? And I know it's disappointing, the record, but how do you evaluate it?
I don't think the record kind of defines us this year. I think it's more of a, it was kind of like a, almost, I wouldn't say a test run, but it's kind of like a test run,
Did it feel like two seasons? Didn't it kind of feel like you had the first half and the second half?
Right.
And I'm a Spencer Rattler fan. This is not about Spencer and Tyler.
Right.
But it felt like two seasons.
Yeah, it definitely kind of felt like a little first half of the season, or the first season, you would say, right? We were, kind of just seeing what we got back here, and we're just going through the motions kind of. And then that second part hit, man, that second, catch of wind, and we just, took off. And I think it's kind of it's a good thing for us to kind of have that a little bit of momentum right there. So,
give me your sense of how you watched Tyler from that week 9 game at the Rams, which is not an easy place to start, and use his legs in Tampa with touchdowns, use his legs in Atlanta. I don't know what he's like in the huddle, from a leadership standpoint. Tell me about him.
I think the number one thing that amazes me the most about Tyler is just his confidence level. I mean, we can be in situations where we're down a field goal or a touchdown and it's 2 minutes left, and this is clutch moments. It's not easy, at all for anybody, especially a rookie quarterback. And I think that when he's so calm and, he can get the plays out and everything, I think it's an amazing trait he has. And I think, he's been balling.
Felt comfortable this year moving over to the right side where you, not all of your career, but it must have been, where you wanted to be.
Right. Yeah, I definitely had some – a comfortable feeling going back over there. Some things I got to clean up, but it's coming along pretty good. So
I always feel like the player's personal evaluation is probably harder than Nugent's, but what are you working on?
Right. It's just all my different sets, trying to change up, throw my fastball, my curveball as a pass protector, because I think as offensive lineman, you know, Cam Jordan hates us.
Oh, we're getting into that.
Yeah, we're getting into that. But, you know, it's not easy for us to go backwards and block the guy at one certain spot, and one guy's trying to run through your face all the time. So I got to really switch it up on him. Go flat, go on an angle, go back, you know. So just getting that familiar feeling with that was just like my biggest thing I was working on this year. So
Cam says, why do offensive linemen need to have tight ends over there chipping? If they're athletes, they shouldn't have to have a help over there.
Well, we are going backwards facing a guy that can probably run a, let's say, probably a 4-5, 4-5, 4-6. You're blocking a guy running full speed and you're going backwards. I don't know any other position that has to do something hard. Like, I mean, DB, I understand there's DBs out there. Respect to them. But I'm going into a dude that's probably 280 at most sometimes off edge, trying to run through your face.
And the target that he's going after, he can see. You can't see the target he's going after. You don't know what Tyler's doing back there. He's got a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah, I'm based off of faith, man. I'm trusting my QB, trusting my boys next to me, all one set of eyes, and we're just going after them.
And finally, you look at that defense and how, I mean, Chase Young, you know, you went against him and both sides, and Cam and Grando, you must feel there's bright things to happen on that defensive side, irrespective of age.
Yes. Man, you see Chase, since he's been back, he's balling, and right now he has so much momentum going for him, and I'm just happy for him because, you know, he had dealt with a little injury before, but he came back stronger than ever, faster than ever, and I think it's one of his best seasons yet.
And lastly, what's your offseason like? What are your plans? What are you doing?
Well, January is kind of the month of just, you know, kind of relaxed, kick it back. But I'm looking to go to American Samoa with my family, with my parents. So back to the islands, back to the roots with them. And
sounds fun. First time?
First time. I mean, I got to go get my passport this week, everything like that. I got to get everything done this week before I head out.
Defensive back Alante Taylor is another Saints player that hopes to stay in New Orleans. We'll talk to the soon-to-be free agent when we come back on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Alante Taylor wrapped up the fourth year of his rookie contract and will become a free agent in 2026 unless there is an agreement before his contract expires in March.
Always a tough situation to finish the year not in the playoffs, but as you look at what this team accomplished after a very, very challenging start, new head coach, new defensive coordinator, what do you take away?
I think a group of coaches who have a lot of experience and understanding how to get a team to come together. I feel like early in the year, you know, you're trying to build relationships, you're trying to build trust. And through those rough times, I felt like we needed, it definitely brought us closer. And you know, Coach Moore and Coach Staley constantly preaching, you know, staying together, no matter how it was going, really showed up there toward the back end of the year. When we started winning games and, you know, back-to-back games and playing complimentary football together, I think it just shows two coaches who knows how to do it the right way. And I think, you know, they instilled that into all of us, and we stayed true and we trusted the process and we trusted them. And I think that's why we caught on there toward the end of the year.
Four PDs for you late in the season came on. I remember last year in training camp, it was about the slot or going to be on the outside and where do you want to play? And you sat yourself down and said, I am going to be the best slot guy I can be. And then there are injuries and you played on the outside. As you look to your future, are you in a position where you feel most happy or do you like kind of bouncing around?
Yeah, I think I'm a corner man, and I can play on the inside. I think it's hard to find guys who can play on the outside and in the inside. And so I think I take a lot of responsibility and a lot of pride in knowing that, you know, I can be a versatile player. I can be outside in base, and I can slide inside in sub packages and handle the slide just as well. And so I think I'm at a place, man, where kind of that combo player. I mean, only a few guys in the league are doing it, and you know, I want to be in that guy who's doing it at an elite level on both sides. So that's where I'm at with it.
Where do you think your future lies with this organization? You knew the question was going to come eventually, but I mean, some of it's out of your control.
Yeah.
You want to be here, I guess, is the question.
Yeah. The Saints drafted me. They gave me a chance. You know, I've built a lot of great relationships within this locker room. There's a lot of plays out there that, you know, I wish that I could have back, that, you know, I could help the team in any way possible. But I feel like with the opportunities I did have, I think I capitalized on them very well. The Saints gave me a shot, man, and they allowed me to shine week in and week out. And so, obviously, you know, I'd love to come back. I love this city. I love this community. I've touched a lot of kids. There's not a school that I go to or see where kids aren't, you know, doing my little thumbs down and things like that. So it touches my heart, the fact that I've impacted so many people here. You know, born and raised in Tennessee, all I know is Tennessee. And so coming to New Orleans is like my first time leaving home. And New Orleans has been really good to me. And so obviously, you know, I love to come back here. But like you said, it's out of my control. And, you know, I have to make sure I also do what's best for me and my family as well. So we'll see.
We're talking with defensive back Alante Taylor. Just a couple of more questions. And when we talked with anybody on the defense about the Brandon Staley defense training camp early in the year, they go, we love it. It's fun. And I was like, the word fun was used a lot. What does that mean? And as now that the season's over, did you feel like this defense just really evolved as it became more comfortable with that scheme? I mean, you finished for a team that did not, you know, that won six games defensively, your stats, you know, third down, fourth down, passing yards, those kind of areas were outstanding.
Yeah. I think this defense is a defense where we had a blast. Now I've kind of said it in other interviews. It's just something about Coach Staley, man, who, you know, he talks about, you know, building this thing from the inside out, right? And I think we definitely did that. And one thing about it, man, is like every player on the field is going to get their opportunity to make a play in the game. Do you know when it's going to happen? You don't. But Coach Staley is going to make a call for every single player to make some kind of impact in the game. And when you know that as a player, you know, you go hard every single play. It might not be specifically a job that you enjoy doing, right? But, you know, it helps the defense. And at some point in time, like, your opportunity is going to come. You kind of think about Cam Jordan and Carl Granderson dropping to the flat, right? And those are guys who rush the passer. But, you know, them just doing that gives them an opportunity to rush the passer, and they go and get those sacks whenever their opportunity comes. And I think we had a lot of fun in this defense, man. Coach Staley's defense is fun. Just because, like I said, like, everybody's going to get an op, and we cheer on each person. But I definitely had a lot of fun within this defensive scheme.
And finally, it's the off season. Unfortunately, not a playoff game for preparation for next week. What are your plans? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing this off season?
Yeah, I'm going to head to Texas. I'm going to be with my girl, and I'm expecting my daughter to be here in the next few weeks. So, super excited for her to get here, and super excited to get this off season and you know, process being a dad and just being there and learning a little bit, and then get back into training to get ready for the next year.
So wait, she's coming here. It might be right around Mardi Gras time, right?
Well, she'll be born in Austin, Texas, but you know, she's due January 23rd. So we're looking at a. Hey, you know, they can also come sooner. Yeah. So anytime now, she'll be here. And I just can't wait for that. That's probably my highlight of my off season is seeing her born and then just being with her.
Well, congratulations. I have two daughters. The ride begins, my friend. fantastic time, fantastic season, and just continued success.
No doubt. Thank you so much.
That's our show for tonight and for the season. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth and to Doug Miller and Davis Friend with the Saints, who help secure our guests each week. And to you, the listeners, thanks for tuning in. This has been the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.